Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We spoke with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey a bit earlier today. There's lots of action going on right now on the Hill. The House passed its version of the GOP tax overhaul. Not a single Democrat voted for the bill, which is estimated to add more than $1.4 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. And the Senate takes up the legislation next. Earlier this week, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee held a hearing on a proposal to strip the president's authority to unilaterally order a preemptive nuclear strike. Now, Senator Markey is the bill's sponsor, so I asked him why he wants Congress to have a say.
In the case of launching a nuclear war against another country, in this case, we're talking about North Korea, where North Korea has not, in fact, launched a nuclear attack against us, but taking General McMaster's words, that is, the president's national security advisor's words, that it may be necessary to engage in a preventative war. If you insert the word nuclear inside of preventative nuclear war, that means that they would be considering launching nuclear weapons against the nuclear weapons of North Korea without having the United States Congress have voted upon that. And the consequences of beginning a nuclear war are so serious, so dangerous, not just for North Korea and the United States, but for South Korea, for Japan, for Guam, for the whole world, that I believe it is imperative that the United States Congress vote a declaration of nuclear war against the country if we have not been attacked with nuclear weapons.
Okay, so there's no doubt, Senator, that contemplating the use of nuclear weapons is the most serious thing that a government or a president could do. No doubt about that whatsoever. But just to be clear, is your concern right now perhaps not so much the current state of the law, but the man in the White House who may be, who has the authority right now?
I introduced the bill last October when Hillary Clinton was ahead by 7 points. I believe that this is a constitutional responsibility which must be discharged. That's why I asked Bob Corker, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, to have the first hearing in 41 years in
right.
the House or Senate on the issue of a president's ability, authority to launch nuclear weapons, first use of nuclear weapons. I just think that that's an issue that goes right to the core of the separation of powers in the United States Constitution, and it's only exacerbated because Donald Trump is president, because he's using fire and fury. He's talking about unleashing historic devastation upon North Korea. So it takes a fundamental constitutional issue, and then it adds an urgency that Donald Trump may, in fact, right now be contemplating the use of nuclear weapons in a preventative war scenario, and all we have to do is refer over to his own national security advisor, General McMaster's
right.
words.
Well, Senator, in that hearing that you mentioned on Tuesday, former commander of the United States Strategic Command, retired General Robert Kaler, he testified, and he noted that there may already be certain checks and balances in the system. He said that the military could refuse to follow what it considers an illegal order. That would be an order that's disproportionate or unnecessary. I mean, did that put you at ease at all?
No, not at all. In fact, since the Strategic Air Commander is appointed by the president ultimately, because the Secretary of Defense is appointed by the president ultimately, they work for him. So there's no outside check on this process. What we actually have at this point is the exclusion of the Congress, which is supposed to be the impartial arbiter of whether or not a president can engage in military activity, and substituting a relatively homogeneous group of people, that is the people named by the president to these positions, which I don't think is an adequate check upon the use of nuclear weapons. And I think it's highly unlikely that they would exercise that authority if the president, in fact, did order the use of nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Senator Markey, I think it is good and important that American leadership have this conversation. Absolutely. I am curious about what you think sort of about the philosophy, though, behind the concept of, you know, of deterrence, because I've been seeing some folks saying if there was a prolonged approval process for the use of nuclear weapons through Congress, that could affect the United States' ability to deter adversaries with the threat of a rapid nuclear attack. So therefore, you know, maybe it's not as straightforward as one might think.
Well, that's absurd. The United States has the most powerful nuclear arsenal in the world. There's no close second. If North Korea attacks us with nuclear weapons, they should assume that North Korea will be destroyed by the end of the afternoon of the same day. They know that. So there's not a high likelihood, as a result, that they're going to actually attack us. And so that scenario is covered. The president can, in fact, respond if we have been attacked. This is a situation where we have not been attacked, where there is not an imminent threat to us, where there is just a plan which is being put in place at the White House, at the Pentagon, that would lead to a launch of a nuclear strike on another country here in North Korea. And it's my feeling, and I think most people's feeling, that President Kim is homicidal, but he's not suicidal. He knows that if he attacks the United States of America with nuclear weapons, that it's, for all intents and purposes, suicide for him and for his regime and for his country if there was a total nuclear retaliation against North Korea. So I don't think anyone has to worry that we have the capacity to respond, and Kim knows that. It's the question of whether or not we use them first, where it's unlikely he's going to be using those nuclear weapons against us.
Mm. Senator, since I've got you, there's a lot going on up on the Hill. I'd just like to ask you a couple more questions about things sort of percolating in the Senate, if I could. Because the House, of course, is voting on its version of its tax overhaul today. The Senate has made some, or Senate Republicans, I should say, have made some pretty significant changes to its version of the tax bill. All of a sudden now they're seeking to eliminate the individual mandate for health care. They would make the tax cuts temporary for middle-class families, but not for corporations. I just want to get quickly your sense as to the Senate version of a tax overhaul bill.
Okay. They have two principal goals. One, destroy the Affordable Care Act. Two, return all the monies to the upper one percentile who actually don't want to help people who need health care in America, because all of their families in the upper one percentile have no concerns about their access to the best medical care in the world.
Senator Mitch McConnell has effectively said that, right? He said it would be some $330 billion that the government would save with the health care changes, and that would go to help make the corporate tax cut permanent.
Exactly. So it's a direct income transfer from people who need health care over to people who don't need health care, and it would ensure that the wealthiest corporations and the wealthiest individuals get a tax break. So, and what it will result in is health care premiums for everyone will go up. Yeah. There'll be fewer people in the pool, and as a result, everyone else will have to pay more. So it's a pretty simple formula. The rich get richer and the poor get sicker.
Do you think, though, that the Senate's version of the bill has a chance of passing? I mean, I know that Republican Senator Ron Johnson has come out against the plan, but, you know, he also said he was opposed to the Senate's health care plan a while ago and ended up voting for it. So,
right. Well, here's the thing. He doesn't believe that the tax breaks are big enough for some of the corporations. So that seems to me to be something that they could probably work out, how to give even bigger tax breaks to the corporate subset that he is most interested in. So at the end of the day, I think he's using that as a negotiation lever. But ultimately, I think that they are going to be working with him to figure that out.
Senator Markey, one last question, because we're just seeing today an announcement that a bipartisan group of senators led by John Cornyn is going to introduce some legislation in closing gaps in reporting in the National Incident Criminal Background Check System. This has to do with a mass shooting that happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, where As people recall, the Air Force should have reported the shooter to the background check system because of his discharge from the Air Force, and he had a history of mental illness as well. Was never reported, so was able to purchase firearms. This, you know, looks like this bill is just going to news that it's just going to be introduced today. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, the gaps that exist in reporting of this, of the sale, the purchase of guns in our country, is absolutely glaring. And overwhelmingly, 93% of all Americans want all of the loopholes to be closed. So to the extent to which it's clear that the military wasn't complying when there were situations where those who were being discharged, you know, were being discharged because of domestic violence charges, it's across the board. And these gaps have to be closed. So I think this is a big day. Where John Cornyn and Tim Scott, Republicans, can join with Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut to bridge the gap that we've had for a generation. But at the same time, we have to go further. We need an assault weapons ban. We need to ban the bump stock that was used in the massacre in Nevada.
Yeah, and that went nowhere in Congress, as we know.
So far, no. And we need the $10 million a year that I've tried each year to get in order to make it possible for there to be funding for the Centers for Disease Control to do research on the origins, the causes of gun violence in our society. But maybe this is the beginning of a new era. I'm hopeful because thus far the NRA has had a vise-like grip on the agenda of the United States Congress. And so hopefully this is a new breakthrough day.
That was Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. We spoke with him a bit earlier today. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.